Blog Talk Radio.
A lot of us in this house tonight, we're on the potter's wheel right now. And it's not comfortable. It doesn't feel good. But we need to just take solace in the fact that even though it may not feel good right now, as long as I'm in his hands, I know that everything is going to be all right. Just touch somebody, look them in the face, and tell them, I'm in his hands.
He has his hands.
Time, God has been so good unto me, and I'm so grateful for this platform, for this show and this network. I tell you that it's just a blessing to my soul. Well, hello, hello, hello. It is Sunday, December 1st. I am your host, sanctified and set apart, with a shot of the Holy Ghost. I am Pastor D. Townsend, and welcome to the Jubilee Affair Season 3, brought to you always by the HubNet Online Network. This is God's show for God's people. As always, I am joined by the good brother Hakim Nuba.
Hey, good evening, sir. How are you today?
Oh, man, all is well, sir. All is well. How was your Thanksgiving, sir?
It was great. Got to spend time with my kids and the family. It was just a good time to be had by all. How was yours?
You know, it was actually wonderful. It was wonderful. We went over to my wife's family's house, and they always show up and show out. They make a meal fit for a king, brother. And, you know, I sat there and I ate, Doc, and I ate till I got full and took me some leftovers and ate those till I got full, you know. But it was a true blessing, Doc, you know, just to be around family, man, you know, that's what it's all about. I'm thankful for my family, my extended family, you know, it's just a blessing, you know, to be around anybody that loves you.
Yes, sir. I agree.
Yes, indeed. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. To you, my family and my friends, if you are in need of prayer, you can contact us on the Jubilee Affair Facebook page. You can tweet the HubNet Online Network. But the quickest way is to call the show. The number is 646-787-1798. Again, that number is 646-787-1798. You can call, press the number 1, and at the appropriate time, you will be placed in queue. And at that time, you will be able to talk with the good brother Hakim and myself. Amen? All right. I like to always open up my show with prayer. I believe that prayer changes things. And on tonight, it is my prayer that some of these things that we're going to discuss will be changed. Amen? So let's go to the throne of grace. Father God, we just thank you yet again, Father, for all that you do, for all that you've done. I thank you, Father God, for a productive Sunday, Father, from the start this morning, Father, at the home church up into right now, Father God, as we have the church on the network, Father. I give you thanks, Father, because you did not have to do it, Father. It did not have to come my way, Father God, but you blessed me in a way, Father, that I've never been blessed before. So I give you all the thanks, I give you all the honor, and I give you all the praise for what you do for me, Father. Now I ask, Father God, that you would bless all those, Father, within the sound of my voice, Father. Bless Brother Hakim, Father. Bless Sister Michelle, Father. Bless all those, Father God, who call on you, Father. I send out a blessing to each and every one of them, Father, and let somebody be saved. Let somebody be safe. Let somebody be safe and sound off of what they hear tonight, Father God. We just thank you because we know that we serve a God that never fails, Father. Continue to touch us, continue to anoint us, continue to bless us and keep us. In Jesus' name that we pray, amen. You all know that I do allow listener questions to come in and I have been asked 3 questions. One of them I believe that I have answered before, but because it was a new listener, I will answer it again. These are the 3 questions. The first one says, "Hey, Pastor D, I've always wondered, what will happen to the tribes, to the people that are deep, deep in the rainforest that do not know about modern technology, those who do not know God? What will happen to them when Jesus comes back?" If I had to answer that question, I am not God to give you a definite answer, but I would have to say that there will be a place for them as well in heaven, simply because they don't know about God. The word says that once you know about God, that's when your time starts. When you know about God, when you learn that you have to serve God openly, serve God wholeheartedly, and serve God in spirit and in truth, then when you learn that, that's when you know, okay, that it's time to get things in order. With those people in the rainforest or in the Congo or wherever they are, and they're deep down and they live their lives every day without knowing about modern technology and knowing about the Word of God, I believe that God would save them as well, because they don't know. Now, for us, the ones that do know, we are the ones that have to be concerned, because we're the ones that's going to be held accountable. Amen. So, yes, you know, if you know about God, you know about Jesus, you are held accountable. From the least to the greatest, you're held accountable. The second question is, "Hello, Pastor D. I've always had this question. Why is the portrait of Jesus white?" And this is the question that I believe that I answered once before, but I will answer it again. If you look at back in the day, the original portrait that was drawn of Jesus is actually a man by the name of Caesar Borgia. And it is said that he was a friend, I use the term friend, to Michelangelo. And Michelangelo drew his picture as it would be the picture of Jesus. So the picture that we have of the blonde hair, blue-eyed Jesus is actually a man who walked the earth by the name of Caesar Borgia. It is not the same depiction that the Bible depicts Jesus as. The Bible says that he was a dark-skinned man, a man with hair wool, and skin was kissed by the sun. So, again, if we can be honest about things, we know that there were no Caucasian people in that area at that time. Amen. So it is what it is. I love my Caucasian brothers and sisters as much as I love my black brothers and sisters. But I'm just saying that this was not, if we're going to be truthful about it, I'm going to speak the truth. Amen. So Jesus was not a white man with blonde hair and blue eyes. Regardless to what the agenda was or what people may think that was going on, the mere fact is that the Bible which we all have looked at and believed that is the authentic word of God, says that Jesus looked a certain type of way. Now, when we get the pictures of the blonde hair, blue eyed Jesus, but we know what the Bible says, what do you believe? Now, if you believe that Jesus was blonde hair and blue eyes, that's all well and good if that's how you believed it. That's your decision to believe that. But let me also say this. When it comes to Jesus, from what I have read about him, because I don't know him personally, I never met him physically, I know him in the spirit. I hear him speak to me and give me directions in the spirit. But from what I know of him, if I were one who, let's say I was a racist, I hated black people, I hated color, people of color, and I died and I went to the pearly gates, how would Jesus appear to me to test my spirit? He would appear to me as a man of color, the same thing that I claimed that I hated, and see if I would be willing to kiss his feet and say, thank you, Lord. Or to the black man who has an issue with the Caucasian people. What if you died and Jesus came to you as that blonde hair and blue eye? Would you still be willing to kiss his feet and say, thank you, Lord? So we don't know, because of the way that Jesus is now in his glorified body, he can appear to us in any way, shape, or form that he wants to. And if he did, what would you say? So what I'm saying to you is, don't look too much at the color, but look at what he did for you. Look at what he did for you. And I'll even take it a step further. Look at what Yahshua, his original Hebrew name, look at what he did for you. Look at what he did for you. He got on the cross and he took a beating. He took something that nobody else could do for you. When his blood ran down that cross, it was red. If you slice open my hand, you're going to see red blood. If you slice open a Caucasian's hand, you're going to see red blood. A Middle Eastern, red blood. A African, red blood. So it's not about color when it comes to Jesus. It's about what he did for you. Remember that. You have some that argue that down, up and down the street, oh, it's all about color with Jesus, but Jesus don't care about that. Jesus came to save everybody. His blood fell on everybody. Not just the Jews, but the Gentiles alike. Because from what my scripture says, the Jews were the biggest heathens of all, and they could not get their minds together, but still the blood of Jesus fell on everybody. On everybody. The third question is, hello, Pastor D. If God says, don't drink, why then did Jesus turn the water into wine? Well, first off, the Bible does not say, don't drink. The Bible says, everything in moderation. The Bible also says not to get drunk. For when you get drunk, you allow all type of things to enter into your body because you no longer have control of it. Everything that we do in this world should be done in moderation. Everything that goes on should be done in moderation. If you drink too much, what's going to happen to your liver? It's going to shrivel up. You're going to get cirrhosis of the liver, and you're going to die. What happens if you smoke too much? You smoke too much, you get lung cancer, and if God don't heal you, you will die. You drink too much water can what? Drown you in your sleep. You can die. Too much sunlight, what can too much sunlight do? It can cause skin cancer. Everything should be done in moderations. When Jesus turned the water into wine, that was because he was blessing the marriage right there, and there was no more wine in the house, and thus he did that as a blessing to the marriage and to the wedding ceremony. But everything was done in moderations. So when you look at things and make sure that we have a clear understanding of what we're reading, the Bible does not say you cannot drink. And in all actuality, Paul, the Gentile apostle, told Timothy, who had an ulcer, to take a little wine and it'll be good for your stomach. Drink a little wine every once in a while, and it'll be good for your stomach. It's right there in the Word. All you have to do is read it to get a full understanding. And what you don't understand, you ask God, you pray before you pick up the Word, and ask God for a spirit of clarity so that you will get a full understanding of what you're reading. Amen. Amen. For my subject today, this is not going to be a typical Pastor D message. I asked Brother Hakim, the greatest producer that I've ever seen, to put up a disclaimer for parental advisory, because there are some topics that we need to discuss. There are some things that we need to put out on the table. My subject is, when will it end? When will it end? When I think about that, in this modern era right now, it seems to be the most wicked time of human history. We have a lot of shooting going on, a lot of killing going on. Well, that's been happening since the beginning of time. But since the beginning of time, somebody has had morals and an ethical approach to the Word of God. We find now, in this modern era, that people would rather be in the darkness than come to the light. That people would rather sin every single day than align themselves with Jesus and have a fighting chance at getting their lives right and in order. Now, I'm not saying that I'm above sin. No, because I deal with sin on a daily basis, amen, because of this old flesh, I deal with sin, so I'm in the same boat with you. But what I'm saying is, because I know a man named Jesus, that I have a fighting chance, and, you know, I may not make it into heaven, but guess what? I have a fighting chance. But what I see going on around this world right now, I see some disgusting things happening to people. 64,000 black and Latino women are missing. When will it end? Some people say that they're being harvested for their organs. But I also believe in that some are being taken and used as sex slaves in foreign lands. When will it end? In America, I'm not dealing with nothing outside of America, but in America alone right now, we are dealing with an issue where human trafficking is dead smack in our face. And what are we doing about it? What has been done to stop it? Oh, I see the drug man on the corner selling drugs to people. Oh, I see them changing money on the corner. But where are the men that's going to stand on the corner and make sure that our children get back and forth to school? Oh, I see our young women walking around with skin-tight shorts on and showing off their bodies and thinking that the money is where it is. But where do they learn some home training? That everything that flashes is not gold. Everything that shines is not silver. But instead, our young girls, our young men their minds are being controlled by thinking that this money, this fast money and what they see on TV is the lifestyle that they need to live. And thus they'll do anything to get that lifestyle. Oh, I remember growing up. And I would ask an older gentleman, maybe in my mother's generation, and I would ask, oh, how you doing, sir? Oh, man, you know, the white man holding me down. No white man can hold you down. No man can hold you down. You hold yourself down. In this generation now, we so afraid to speak about things that we let it go under the radar. When we know that it's wrong, we don't say anything. Oh, well, you know, snitches get stitches. Well, guess what? If it were your daughter, if it were your son, you would want somebody to talk. You would want somebody to say something that would give you some peace in your life to know where your child or your daughter is. But when it's your turn, when you have seen the crime, you turn a blind eye. When will it end? When will things stop being this way? And yet, the church that I know and love has been dead silent. Has been dead silent. When do we get together? When do we start marching for our own children? We'll march when a white man shoots us or a white woman shoots us. But when do we start marching for our own people? When do we start saying enough is enough? When do we start saying that I love my people just enough to where I want to make sure that the village comes back together and raise these children? Heck, when I was younger and I did something wrong, by the time my mother got home, she knew about it. Because it took a village to raise all of us. And I was raised in the gutter. I was raised in the hood. But when? When do we start? And let me say this. They're taking our children. They are taking our children. Hear me. They are taking our children. The roots. the lifelines, the generation, the next governors, mayors, presidents, lawyers, doctors, they're taking them. And what are we doing about it? What are we going to do about this? How long will we allow this injustice to happen? When will it end? I said it all the time. We know how some of them think about us, but how do you think, what do you think about yourself? When will it end? And I'm just that bold to let it be known that, you know what, I hope and pray to God that I never see anything like this transpire, because it's not going to end well. And if I have to put down my collar, put down my priestly robe, and put down all that I am to stop a situation, guess what, I will do that. Because I will not see another son or daughter lost to these devils. And just the other day, it happened 2 miles from my house, where I lay my head. And it wasn't a white man that did it. It was a black man. Matter of fact, it was 2 black men. So now, the Judas has now infiltrated the black culture. Now, because these black men want this money, so now you're telling me that you will take one of your own sisters, your cousin, and you will allow them to be trafficked and to be taken against their will and sold into slavery. Well, I guess history is just repeating itself. But when will it end? 64,000 missing. And this didn't just start yesterday. How long will we deal with this? The same time and the same efforts that we put in taking our children to get these Jordans and these iPhones and all this Louis Vuitton stuff, why don't we take that same time and that same effort into teaching them to stay off their cell phones when they're walking down the street? To look both ways. To be aware of your surroundings. Do not speak to everybody that come up and want to be in your face. I saw a group of young girls just the other day. Didn't know these men from Adam to Eve. And they had a fancy car. And the girls just flocked right over there to them, introducing themselves. All because this man had a fancy car. And if he had grabbed one of them and sped off, there was nothing that nobody would have been able to do. It's time that we start teaching our children to use the mind that God has given them. Put down the marijuana, put down the drinks, and use the mind that God has given you. Because the way that it's looking, you are in a losing battle. If your parents won't tell you, I will tell you, you need to start paying more attention to everything that you do. Because this world wants to devour you. This is nothing but the work of the enemy. And if he can get you, he can get all the rest of them. And you know what the Holy Spirit said to me the other day? That these black men that's involved with this human trafficking, they know the right ones to get. The ones that's vulnerable. The ones that nobody talks to. The ones that people may not find to be pleasant to the eyes. Or even sometimes they get the ones that's pleasant to the eyes. And they snatch them up. And they drug them. And they throw them in the vans. And they're taking God knows where. Made to do God knows what. And when they're done with them, they throw them to the side like a piece of trash. When does it end? I challenge every man of God to stand up. I challenge every man of God to open up your doors. I challenge every man of God to make your church a place where the children can come and wait on their parents to pick them up. I challenge every pastor, every bishop, whatever you are, apostle, I challenge all of you to get things, to fix this situation. To march for your people. To stand on this social injustice. Because if you cannot stand on this social injustice right now, you are not doing no good to the people. Oh, you preach real good on Sunday mornings. But after church is over, then you go on about your way because it's not your problem. And we wonder why our young people are not coming to church. Oh, I'm just that bold to say it. We wonder why they don't come into the church house. When do we start showing love? When do we open up ourselves to know that this is a generation? A generation has been lost from the time that they came into this world. Babies having babies. Babies having babies. It takes us to stand up and to be parents sometimes when we don't even have children. And you sit back and you act as if it's not your problem. How dare you call on God and say that God is your Lord and Savior. But you see the injustice that's going on and you do nothing about it. But the minute that a white man comes in and do something that you don't like, there you go. How do you pick and choose the injustice that you deal with? This don't sit right with my spirit. If I have to be a one-man army, I'll do it myself. But I would like a little help behind me. And I'm not just talking to the men here in Detroit. I'm talking to the men all around, every state, because it's happening everywhere. And I don't care who don't like this message, because guess what? This is my platform, and can't nobody remove me from this platform right here, so I'm going to speak my mind. So if you don't like it, then that's just too bad. But our children have a death sentence that's placed on them, and we're not doing nothing about it. I have a wife here. I have a mother here. And God forbid that somebody do something and try to kidnap one of them. I feel sorry for them. Because I'm here to let you know, I'm not going to sit back and just let it happen. Where are the men? Where are the God-filled, Spirit, Holy Ghost, fire-baptized men? Even if you are not a man of God, let me tell you, this is not a Christian thing. This is not a Muslim thing. This is not a Jehovah Witness thing. This is a people thing. If the Jehovah Witness daughter gets taken, if the Muslim daughter gets taken, if the Christian daughter gets taken, even if the Jewish daughter gets taken, it still affects all of us. When we decide to put down all of this rhetoric and start to see people for who they are, which the Bible says to love one another, when we decide to do that, then we'll know that we're about our Father's business. We don't do nothing about it. We haven't done anything about it. At my former church, I formed a Men of Valor, which is a social justice group. All men. Where we dealt with the issues of the community. I challenge you to start a social justice group, a Men of Valor group, and let your men and have your men to patrol the areas, the neighborhoods, the schools, to keep our children safe. To keep our youngsters happy and encouraged. To do what God has called us to do. Even if you're not a Christian, if you love your child, you will then do what you need to do. Get off your lazy behind. And get out there and make sure that your child gets back and forth to school. That's your job. That is your job. And even if you don't have a child, look after somebody's child. Every young man that I see is my son or my little brother. And I'm going to talk to him that way. I'm going to love on him that way. We can turn the tides, y'all. We can stop this. But some love got to go forth. We can't just talk about it no more. You see, we're not in the generation of my mothers and my grandmothers where you could talk a big game. And they would sit back and believe it. Now, you got to show these young people that you're doing what you say you're doing. if you're not sacrificing to make their lives better, if you're not doing something to help them to be better, if you're not encouraging them, if you're not looking after them, if you're not trying to be a part of their lives, but you keep speaking it, of course they won't have no respect for you. Which is why the churches are the way that they are. Somebody is going to have to step up and take the mantle and say, I will not allow my children to experience death. Not by the hands of somebody that captured them and took them somewhere against their will. Same thing happened to our ancestors. Oh, y'all, a lot of people don't like to talk about that because they believe that the Europeans came on African soil and captured all of us and chained us up and took us one by one onto the slave ship called Jesus and then from there they shipped us over here, and that's what happened. No, we sold ourselves into slavery. We sold ourselves into slavery. The warrior king sold their slaves into slavery. Servitude for over here. To experience the crack of the whip. That was the human trafficking started right then and there. And guess what? If they did it to us then, they're doing it to us now. But just like then, they had a little help. They got some help from some black folks right now. Because there were Moors in England, amen, and Moors came over here. Whew. When does it end? When does it end? When do we say enough is enough? I've experienced a lot of this. I've been watching. I've been posting in the Facebook chat, and I've been just seeing all, and it makes me sick to my stomach. It makes me sick to my stomach to know that my women, my friends, my daughters cannot go out and enjoy their lives. That they have to watch everything that they do because a sick predator may be after them. And we standing right there and watch it happen and don't do nothing about it. When does it end? When do we stand bold for our young girls, for our daughters, our cousins, our wives? When do we stand up? When do we make it be known that I will not allow nothing to take you from this life? When do we say that? When do we do it? It's time. It's time that we open up our eyes. We've been blind long enough. I, for one, am not blind. I have never been blind. I don't talk a lot. I don't say a lot. But let me explain to you. My mama did not raise a fool. I see everything that goes on around me. And I'm here to let you know that God is not pleased with the way things are going. From the top to the bottom, He's not pleased with it. And it's time that we make a change. It can end today. But we have to decide that it's time to end. It's time for it to end. Because it just may be your son or your daughter next. And you're going to want everybody to pass out the flyers, to speak up, to tell what they know. But you didn't. Let that marinate in your mind. Let that marinate in your spirit. And understand, it's survival time. It is survival time. And I urge you, I challenge you to heed this message, this warning, that if things don't change, if the people don't come together and bring forth a change, there won't be many of us left. Because they're taking us out. And we're allowing it. Be that snitch if you have to. Speak up about the injustice that you know that's going on. Tell somebody, in hopes that we can stop this mess. And if you got to get a couple stitches in the process, then so be it. You've done it. You get a beating for the right reason, just like Jesus took a beating for the right reason. But it's time. This has fired me up. I am pissed off. Because it does not have to be this way. And I will not allow it. Open up your hearts, your minds, and your eyes. And to any of you, that may be thinking that this is okay, any of you that have participated in something like this, you better be careful. You better be careful. My mama used to always tell me an old saying that what goes around comes around. And you know, when a person do something to you, back in the day, it used to take years for it to come back around, but now it's almost instant. The same girl that you set up to be taken may be your little sister next time. Be mindful of what you do. Be mindful of what you're about. And be mindful of what you allow to be in your face. No, this is not a normal Pastor D message, because you know it's time that somebody say something. And at my church, I'm going to reorganize my minute dollar. I already got him in place, so I'm going to reorganize my minute dollar to be exactly what I just said. We're going to go out. And we're not going to just talk about it. We're going to be about it. If it's just two or three of us, we're going to be about it. Because I love you. And as your pastor, sometimes I got to hit you where it hurts. And you know what? And that's just the way that it is. But I'm tired, y'all. I'm tired of seeing this destruction happen to our children. When will it end? I say that it ends right now. You have been listening to the Jubilee Affair on behalf of Deacon Maurice, the good brother Hakim Nuba, and myself, Pastor D. Townsend. We are signing off. Good night, and God bless. And stay safe. Stay safe. Again, God bless.
A lot of us in this house tonight, we're on the potter's wheel right now. And it's not comfortable. It doesn't feel good. But we need to just take solace in the fact that even though it may not feel good right now, as long as I'm in his hands, I know that everything is going to be all right. Just touch somebody, look them in the face, and tell them I'm in his hands.
He has his hands on you.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.